From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, July 9th, 2018. And on this day, the legislature overrides almost half of Governor Paul LePage's vetoes. We'll hash out the details. And the new Supreme Court nominee will be announced tonight. And in Maine, healthcare advocates are stepping up pressure on Senator Susan Collins to protect abortion rights and the Affordable Care Act. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
First tonight, as we have been hearing throughout the day, lawmakers are in special session dealing with dozens of vetoes and several unresolved issues. Mal Leary joins us now from the Capitol. Mal, it has been a busy day so far. What are some of the vetoes that have broad interest?
Well, you've mentioned some of them, Nora. For example, paying for Medicaid expansion that was mandated by the voters has a lot of interest, and that issue remains unresolved. The House sustained the governor's veto of that spending bill that lawmakers sent him last month. He objected to the money coming from one-time sources. Other spending bills that provided ongoing funding for providers of home-based care, for the elderly and the disabled, were also overridden overwhelmingly in both the House and Senate. County jails got the funding that they needed over the objections of the governor. Sheriffs are pleased, but they realize they still face problems with more inmates that are in need of treatment for health or mental health issues. And the opioid crisis, of course, is affecting the jails as well. It hasn't received much attention yet, but the governor today did let legislation become law without his signature that allocates school subsidies so those checks can go out to all the schools within a matter of days. That's a big issue to a lot of school districts. And you mentioned this, forest rangers will be allowed to carry firearms on the job after the law takes effect 90 days after the close of this special session. That's been an issue since 1997, and it's engendered a lot of debate over the years.
So, yeah, busy day in Augusta. Mal, did the governor get sustained on a lot of bills? Last week, we had trouble keeping track of the number of vetoes that he was issuing.
We certainly did. His vetoes have been upheld on a lot of bills. For example, legislation to add staff to the Attorney General's office to investigate deaths of individuals with severe disabilities, autism. Federal officials have criticized the state strongly for not investigating about 100 cases that they thought should have had an investigation and didn't. The governor was also upheld on his veto of funding for the Down East Correctional Center. That's been a hot topic all year. And his veto of a measure requiring health insurance companies to cover hearing aids. He also garnered enough House Republican support to sustain his veto of a pilot program to help Washington County deal with the opioid crisis. And as you mentioned, the bill that would have outlawed conversion therapy was also sustained in the House of Representatives.
They've done a lot today, it sounds like. What is left to be addressed?
Well, quite a bit is left to be addressed as well, Nora. For on the bond situation, that is, bonds that will go to the voters, money that they want to borrow for various projects. So far, only one bond issue has been approved, and that's one for wastewater treatment, a higher education job development bond that would provide $49 million to the University of Maine and $15 million to the community college is in the process between the House and Senate. It appears that it's going to pass, but we won't know until the final votes are taken. It takes a two-thirds vote of both branches to send a bond issue out to the voters. Same as for that $105 million bond issue for bridge and highway improvements and repairs. What still seems to be a big sticking point in this session is the bill that's called the Errors Bill. And included in that Errors Bill is the error that is not allowing the Maine Ethics Commission to send out checks under the Clean Elections Program. So that's the big issue that is still unresolved. When I left the Capitol building a couple minutes ago, legislative leaders were still meeting, trying to see if they could come up with some sort of compromise.
Anything else you want to mention, Mel?
Well, there is a interesting development on a veterans amendment, a bill that would allow it easier for veterans to become licensed practical nurses. It failed in the House. The Senate that amended it and has sent it back to the House. So that issue is going to have to play out tonight or maybe tomorrow as they decide which version of the bill to adopt.
All right. That's our political correspondent, Mal Leary. Thank you so much, Mal.
Thank you, Nora.
Now moving to Washington, D.C., with President Trump's announcement of his Supreme Court nominee just hours away, healthcare advocates are stepping up pressure on Senator Susan Collins to protect abortion rights and the Affordable Care Act. But as some await the announcement with dismay, Trump supporters are celebrating the nomination of a justice who they say won't be subject to liberal bias. Patty White has more.
Ever since President Trump was elected, says Nicole Clegg of Planned Parenthood of Northern New England, her organization and its affiliates across the country have been targeted with attempts to restrict access to care. Speaking at a press conference at the State House in Augusta, Clegg says Planned Parenthood has turned to Senator Collins in the past for support, and that support is needed more than ever now.
We're turning to Senator Collins and saying, we need you lockstep with our patients. They turn to us, they know that they need access to safe legal abortion, and we need you to protect that right for them.
Some groups have urged Collins to vet nominees to determine their position on Roe v. Wade, the federal law that protects a woman's right to abortion. But Clegg has a simpler solution. Reject Trump's reported shortlist of four nominees, which has been influenced by the conservative Federalist Society.
We know that this list is unacceptable. We know that these judges and their hostility to women's ability to make decisions about their pregnancy disqualify them for serving on our highest court.
The Maine Women's Lobby is also urging Collins to oppose the nominees, who Executive Director Eliza Townsend says will take the country backwards.
While I appreciate her statement that she will not vote to confirm any nominee who is openly hostile to Roe versus Wade, I ask her to do more. We need her to thoroughly examine the nominee's track record and values. We need her to ask hard questions and not accept facile answers from any nominee.
It's more than abortion that's at stake, says Rebecca London, State Director for Protect Our Care, a coalition of organizations that advocate for the Affordable Care Act. London cites the Department of Justice's recent decision not to defend current insurance protections for people with pre-existing conditions.
Mainers suffering from diabetes, asthma, and cancer need to know they cannot be discriminated against in the future. They need to know that the protections afforded them today will last a lifetime.
While many progressive advocates feel a sense of foreboding about President Trump's Supreme Court pick, other observers are eagerly anticipating the announcement.
Any day that you know you're going to get a new Supreme Court justice, that's a day to celebrate. It's a historic day.
Aaron Chadbourne, an attorney who previously served as senior policy advisor to Governor LePage, set up a table outside the statehouse Monday afternoon to offer pre-written congratulatory postcards addressed to President Trump to anyone interested. Chadbourne says he voted for Trump in part because of his promise to appoint a justice who, as Chadbourne puts it, would uphold the rule of law.
In the last several decades, there's been a trend to appoint justices interested in writing the law, activist judges at every level.
Chadbourne says he's ambivalent about Roe v. Wade, but it's a primary issue for Bevelyn Beatty, a Republican who's running for the state House seat in Belfast, who joined Chadbourne to distribute postcards.
My key thing is turning over Roe versus Wade. This is the biggest thing for me.
Beatty says she's had three abortions, and she doesn't want other women to make the same mistakes that she did.
This is just major. So many prayers, so many Christians who've been praying and fighting and protesting this. I know people in Denver, Colorado, who have been fighting this once it was turned since the 70s. So to finally see this going on, this is like prayer's answer for everyone.
Both Senator Collins and Senator Angus King are expected to issue statements after the president announces his nominee. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Back now to Augusta. Among the vetoes overridden by Maine lawmakers today is one that supporters are calling a significant victory for criminal justice reform. As Susan Sharon reports, the legislature is putting an end to the practice of automatic driver's license suspensions for failing to pay fines for most non-driving related violations.
Advocates for the poor have long complained that the current system punishes low-income and rural Mainers with no access to public transportation most of all. Fail to pay a fine for a criminal offense, and your driver's license is automatically suspended. Omi Amarasingham of the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine says this traps low-income people in the criminal justice system because they are essentially left with two options.
They're going to be isolated and homebound, or they're going to drive on a suspended license, which happens frequently because people need to drive to get to work, to go to the doctor's office, to go to the grocery store. And then people get arrested for operating after suspension, so they very quickly fall into this devolving cycle.
In addition, under the current system, Amarasingham says license suspensions stack up. For instance, if someone fails to pay a fine as low as $25 in January and again in February, March, and April, he or she will have to pay four reinstatement fees. And studies show that suspending driver's licenses for non-highway safety-related reasons doesn't mean the check will be put in the mail.
There is no evidence that shows that driver's license suspensions make it more likely that someone will pay their fine. And in fact, the harms that come from these license suspensions are clear, especially in a rural state like Maine.
Lawmakers have now overridden the governor's veto of a bill to end the practice of automatic suspensions for missed fine payments. Amarasingham says there had been no opposition to the bill, which will become law 90 days after the end of the special session and will affect thousands of Mainers going forward. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, July 9th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.